Welcome, everyone, to Week 4 Take the Points podcast. Tom Zeleznok here in Hartford, Connecticut. I am live via Skype with Dan Partridge in Phoenix, Arizona. Hello, Daniel.
What's up, Z?
Dan, what's going on out there? I hear you're in hurricane season, tornado season.
Well, I don't know. This is Arizona. We're not supposed to have any sort of hurricane business, but I guess something came up near Cabo San Lucas, so everyone freaked out and went to Home Depot and bought a bunch of sandbags, but looks like it's not even raining, nor is it going to rain. Shocker. So that's the end of summer here in Phoenix. We'll be enjoying the next 8 months beginning about a week and a half from now.
So now it goes from 97 degrees to 91 degrees?
Yep, for about the rest of September stays like low 90s, and then October turns like mid-80s. But when it's 90 out here, it feels like it's room temperature in the East Coast. So it's perfect.
Be honest, you miss the 45-degree mid-Septembers of Connecticut, don't you?
I can't do it. Dude, I was at, let's see. I was back east for your wedding in April, and I was frozen for 4 days straight. It was just unbearable. It's crazy. It changes your whole body. You can't leave once you move here.
The funny thing is, of course it is freezing in the winter, and it's much better right now than it is in the winter. But since I'm not acclimated and since it's been pretty hot here, now I'm freezing. I'll point out to the listeners the difference in clothing between us right now. I'm wearing the flannel shirt and sweatpants. You've got on is that a Dirk jersey?
Always a Dirk jersey. German roots, baby.
So Dan's got on a basketball jersey. I'm dressed in full skiing gear pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. It kind of looks like you're about to hang out at the lodge for a little while.
That's the plan. All right, Dan, we have a very serious topic that we will, I'm sure, somehow make fun of and treat not seriously to begin this podcast. Everyone knows the NFL issues, Ray Rice, Peterson. Now we're taping this on Wednesday night. We just hear that Jonathan Dwyer of the Cardinals has been arrested for aggravated assault. A lot of off-field issues permeating the news in the last week. Now, we are not an NFL podcast. We don't like to talk about the NFL. We do enjoy the NFL, but that's not what we're here for. But it just is a good lead-in to talk about some of the stuff going on in college, because everything that happens in the NFL eventually trickles down to college, or the same behaviors permeate both. And we've seen it again just today. Jameis Winston, I don't know. Should we repeat what he said? He said some obscene...
Nah.
I guess we can leave it be. Everyone probably knows what he said by now. But, he stood up on a table in, was it the cafeteria of Florida State?
Student union, something like that.
Yeah, and he screamed something pretty obscene. Actually, something that would, I think, be kind of hilarious if one of us did it or a friend of ours. But when it's said by someone who is accused of being a rapist, not so funny.
No.
Then you've got Doriel Green Beckham of Oklahoma. Oklahoma just recently said they wouldn't have taken him on as a transfer had had it been the same situation, the same climate in the media.
Liars.
Yeah. Sorry. They're full of shit. And
yeah. Oklahoma's 100%.
For those who don't know, he was accused of assault of his girlfriend when he played for Missouri. So Missouri did what I think is the right thing and dropped him. And he transferred to Oklahoma. They took him on. And now he's still on the team, by the way, when they said that we wouldn't have taken him. So that must be awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of Oklahoma, running back Joe Mixon allegedly, quote unquote, punched a woman in the face, according to sources. I think that was in July. So he got suspended. There have just been plenty of problems. And then there's the more silly things like what happened with Johnny Manziel. There are all sorts of drug problems and suspensions. And then there's your normal recruiting violations. My question to you, Dan, is do you think things are getting worse, or do you think this is a case of the media sort of having 50 channels and having to fill all hours of the day and just sort of making things into bigger stories than they are?
I actually think things are improving and not getting worse. It's so easy to go, things are out of control, blah blah blah. It's just that these things weren't being, shown and reported so accurately before. I mean, we had, I don't know, O.J. Simpson kill two people. We had Ray
Well,
Car-
that was, hang on, that was a pretty big story.
Okay, but hold on, let me just fill in some other stuff. There was that Carolina wide receiver, Ray Caruth, who killed his pregnant wife and hid inside of a back of a truck. This stuff's been going on forever, and it was actually probably a lot worse, like way back in the day, 50s, 60s, and then continuing in the 70s, you got your Miami teams in the 80s, your SMU, Texas, 80s, Nebraska. This stuff's been going on forever, and I think actually with the NCAA and, all the internet, people watching you, and I think this stuff's actually improving. And with these guys, there's just, these guys are big. Big guys, they're full of testosterone, and you can have all the training classes and seminars and kick you off the team and that, but this stuff's never going to stop. People are going to get angry at each other and they're going to get physical because that's what they do to get paid in the NFL and in college. That's why they're going there to get paid. I think it's improving. I just think people never saw it in the past. It's one of those things where, yes, you need to punish people, punish them very hard. But it'll never go away, so don't pretend like it's going to if we get a new commissioner or NCAA or anything like that.
Yeah, you raise a lot of interesting points. The first thing I thought about, especially before some of the more serious ones that happened in the last week, when you would hear, for example, about Johnny Manziel acting crazy, I just think Michael Irvin and all the Miami Hurricanes of the 80s and 90s would laugh at anything Johnny Manziel did. Not to
Absolutely.
mention the fact that, you and I did things just as stupid as Johnny Manziel. We just
Worse.
weren't famous. Oh, yeah, way worse.
Way worse.
I mean, I'm so glad that we just missed the whole Facebook and camera phone era.
Thank God.
Then beyond that, the drug stuff, I do think, especially with marijuana, I think that's part of college. I think you would hope that the athletes would appreciate the scholarship they're getting and not want to break the rules, that they would be extra careful, but I think it's hard when we all know the college atmosphere, it's hard to avoid partying and doing things like that. Some of these, it's not so much that they do the crime per se, but it's you would think that they have the sense to know that they're being watched all the time, the things they post on Twitter, the things they do at parties are going to be monitored by 100 other people.
No.
That's where I sort of wonder about the kids, is that they don't have the sense to know, like, yes, I want to do this, but all of these people are watching me.
Some people are just not smart. Oh, Steve, are you still there? Oh,
Yeah.
sorry. Oh, because my Skype froze. Yes, some people are just not smart. It's true. And there's nothing you can do. I mean, everyone isn't going to be a genius. Everyone's not going to be 6'6", 240 pounds. Everyone's not going to be a scientist or a doctor. And at the same time, not everyone's going to work at McDonald's either. So, people are just dumb. I mean, I see it every day. I'm not saying I'm a genius, but I walk around and I see something dumb every day. So there's nothing you can do. All you can do is say if you are in trouble or you, hit somebody or you get arrested, then you're kicked off the team. There's no like, three strikes and you're out. Just kick people off if they get convicted in court. It's as simple as that. But besides that, you're gonna have these problems forever. But when these problems do occur, kick them out, move on. Which I think the NFL actually has been doing a good job of in the past week after the Ray Rice video came out. They're like, okay, suspended him, Peterson, you're suspended indefinitely, Dwyer, you're suspended. So I think that's a smart move. But these instances will always happen. They'll never, ever, ever end until football's not a sport anymore.
Yeah, and it just happened, so I don't know the details of the Dwyer case, but it seems like the NFL's pretty quick to come down on him. They're not messing around anymore.
No, not all.
So it
Oh,
seems like the message was delivered.
exactly. One last point I wanted to make. You talked about the Oklahoma transfer from
Dorial
Missouri,
Green Beckham.
Beckham. He went into his girlfriend's college dorm. She wouldn't let him in. He kicked in the door, pushed her outside the door, took her over to the flight of stairs, and threw her down a flight of stairs. Then Oklahoma asked the NCAA to allow him to play. They said no. Then Oklahoma said, "Oh, he's a bad kid and we would never have taken him." What a bunch of shit. Isn't that unbelievable?
It's
So stupid.
Yeah, that was my first. When they came out and said that, that was my first reaction. Like, sure you wouldn't have.
Bunch of liars. They couldn't care less. All they want is to win their conference.
Right. So we'll see. A couple other things I wanted to add. The first one, let's see if I can remember both of these. The first one was that we sort of, the point of football is for these giant guys who, as you said, are full of testosterone, in the weight room every day, trained to be very aggressive. We want them to basically kill each other. They're the modern day gladiators. But then as soon as they step off the field, we expect them to just flip a switch and turn it off.
It's impossible.
It just doesn't work that way. It's one or the other. Now, of course, we can't tolerate this kind of behavior, but to expect that this stuff will never happen is kind of naive, I do believe.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And as expected, I forgot the second thing that I wanted to say, but...
what are you going to do?
It doesn't matter. We can move on. So here's what we're going to do, Dan. I don't know when I'm going to have this podcast up. Let's tape a short segment on the Thursday night game. And if I need to, I'll just break that off into a short bonus podcast.
Okay, sure.
And if not, then I'll just include it in the full podcast.
Sounds good.
So the big game this week, is Thursday night, is Auburn -9 at Kansas State. Now, about Auburn, they are, in my opinion, and I think you agree, Dan, one of the three best teams in the country, perhaps even better than that. The reason that they're not sort of getting the respect of an Oregon or an Alabama is because no one's really seen them play. Now, they opened against Arkansas on the SEC Network, which I don't have. I think many people have the SEC Network, but a lot of people don't. It's not a given like sort of ESPN is, you know?
Right.
So I think there's a good portion of the country that didn't see them play in that game. And then they played San Jose State, which I doubt anyone watched since it was the same time as several great games.
I watched it. Don't worry about it.
So you were on top of Auburn. You chose them as your national championship pick for this year.
Yeah.
So I'll let you start this one.
Okay, this is a super hard game. I love Auburn more than anyone else. Gus Malzahn's a great coach, offensive genius. Nick Marshall's back. They have two unbelievable wide receivers. They might have the two best wide receivers in the whole country, which is crazy. They're both going to the NFL. One of them transferred in from JUCO. Where's number one? I'm blanking on his name. But he looks like an NFL wide receiver already. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Some of the new guys they have, their new running back, I can't remember his name. It's a hyphenated name. I think he's number 45, but he's pretty outstanding as well.
They're absolutely loaded with talent, and they're going to score a ton of points. And with college football, it comes down to quarterback play. It's very hard for an inexperienced quarterback. I mean, obviously, you saw what Jameis Winston did, but outside of him, to win. And I like how they have Nick Marshall back, who is Cam Newton, and he's improved from last year. He's still a freak runner and a great, he's so good at seeing the field and reading, you know, his, like, option read or a pass. And now he's more accurate than ever. Okay, so I love Auburn. Here's the problem. Kansas State is in the middle of nowhere. Auburn's not familiar with them. They never play them out of conference. Thursday night, road game. This is Kansas State Super Bowl. Kansas State has some playmakers. They have a genius coach in Bill Snyder who's going to run the clock down to 1 second every time before they snap it. Kansas State last year had a little bit of a rough beginning, but finished the season really strong, including a great win in their bowl game out here against Michigan. Also, Kansas State's largest margin of defeat last year was 10 points. So now they're at home as a 9.5-point dog. I love Auburn, and I really do, but I can't bet Auburn in this spot, and I can't bet Kansas State either. And I can't bet an over because of Bill Snyder. As crazy as it sounds, this game's a complete stay away for me, and I still think Auburn's going to win the national title.
You know, when you first said in our first podcast that you picked Auburn for the national title, I was a little bit surprised, not because I don't think they're good, but because their schedule is pretty rough, as opposed to someone like an Alabama or
Georgia,
even South Carolina, maybe. So I thought, you know, I like the team, but that seems like a stretch. Now that we're through 3 weeks, I am totally on board. Auburn, Oregon are the two teams that really impressed me more than anyone.
Yeah, me too.
I think they're going to meet in the championship game. And
that'd be so fun. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
A rematch of LaMichael James versus Cam Newton.
Yep.
That was a great game. One of the best finals I can remember.
Yeah.
It really ended on a sort of a weird play, a fluke play almost.
It was a weird game, too. You know, I mean, everyone expected a super high over, and something happened out here in Arizona where I don't know if they, like, had, like, a weird field, forgot to cut the grass, but 22-19 was a weird score. Anyway, keep going.
And anyway, both teams remind me of their teams from those particular years.
Yep.
Auburn seems a little bit more dynamic on offense, and Oregon seems a little bit better on defense. So if they meet again, that would be one hell of a game.
Hell yeah.
When this line came out, similarly, I really liked Auburn. I thought, you know, Kansas State has not performed well so far this season. They seem much worse than people had picked them at the beginning of the year. I believe are they ranked right now? They're 20th or something like that?
Yeah, it depends on what poll, but yeah, roughly that.
Okay, so they're around 20th in the polls. I think they're a little bit overrated. However, I do agree with you that the situation really makes the line difficult. If this were a Saturday 3:30 game at a neutral site, absolutely I'd be all over the -9. Going to Kansas State is a tough one. As we've seen with USC last weekend, traveling and the home field advantage in college football, I think, is bigger than any other sport, even NFL.
Yes. Out of conference, especially.
Especially. It's teams you don't play much.
Yep.
Now, that said, I do not believe in Kansas State this year. I think they're a middle-of-the-pack Big 12 team. I do think Auburn wins this game, but I think there's potential for it to be a lot closer than it should be. And I think these Thursday night games are always tricky. I don't like the over. I did place a bet on Auburn when it came out, but I think I put down a $20 bet, and then I thought I'll check back later in the week and maybe, you know, double down or put some more down. And I think I'm just going to stick with the 20.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So that's it. I guess, unfortunately, one of the biggest games of the week is a stay away that we can't offer much of an opinion on.
Yeah. Sometimes it's, you know, that's just how it works in gambling. You have to stay away.
So moving along to Saturday, let's start with some of the noon games. We can power through most of these. Let me start with a couple of semi-throwaway ones just to see if you have any thoughts. First one is Troy +41 at Georgia. Do you have any thoughts on Georgia's performance against South Carolina or whether they'll have a bounce-back game?
Of course I have a comment. I told all you clowns that Georgia was going to lose. I said Mark Richt was a fraud. I said Tim Brando was crazy that he had Georgia at number one in his rankings. What do people not understand? No returning quarterback, Mark Richt, Georgia. They're not running the table. They will never run the table. I don't care if, you know, Aaron Rodgers wants to go back to college. They're not winning a national title. So I was so happy watching that game. I was confident the whole time. South Carolina went up and down the field on them like a lot of teams can. Everyone freaked out about how bad South Carolina is. Don't worry. They're going to finish ninth like they always do, and Georgia's going to flake out like they always do. That was so awesome. I loved that game last week, and it made me feel like I actually might know what I'm talking about a little bit. So Georgia sucks. I don't want any part of Troy. I have no interest in talking about this game.
Okay. I would add Norv Turner. Is that the Chargers coach who always went 13-3 and then blew it in the playoffs?
You were thinking of Marty Schottenheimer.
Schottenheimer. Okay. Mark Richt is the college Marty Schottenheimer.
Correct.
Good teams. He'll get you to a very good position. Will not win the big one.
Ultimate choker.
Ever. Also, I would like to chastise Hudson Mason for being a disgrace to my yacht club quarterback theory.
Absolutely.
He's terrible. Got the most yacht club name of all time, and he can't even beat South Carolina.
Horrible. I mean, just what a pathetic job by Georgia. They have the easiest road possible through the SEC. They just got to get by one game at South Carolina, and then they basically roll all the way through the rest of the year, and they can't get it done. And of course, you know, again, I got to say Spurrier did a hell of a job. Again, he knows what he's doing. You know, people hate the guy, but, well, he knows how to win. Well.
He's the best. I love him. Do you think that Georgia and or South Carolina could win the SEC?
No.
You don't think that they could get, say, two losses, 10-2, get into the title game and then pull off a upset victory?
Nope. I don't.
Okay. All right, let's move along then. I know it's a long shot, but I figured I would throw it out
Yeah,
there.
no, not gonna happen.
I'm enjoying this, Dan. I'm sitting here with my Dogfish Head pumpkin ale since it is freezing here, and I just, I knew when I mentioned Georgia, I could just throw it over to you and just sit back and enjoy this while I
That's
listen to
true.
the rant against Rick.
Classic rigged, easy money. I should have bet the money line. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Ah, shit. What are you gonna do?
Wisconsin hosts Bowling Green. They're a 27-point favorite. I have zero thoughts on this game, except that I would not bet on Wisconsin until they prove that either Tanner McEvoy can play or Joel Staube can come back and take over and be okay.
Actually, I kind of like Bowling Green a little bit. They scored like 40 something points last week against Indiana or whatever, and
Yeah, but
hell,
they lost and
yeah,
they
so
weren't really
whatever.
that close.
Yeah, but I mean, so all I know is they scored 40 points and they're getting four touchdowns, and it's Wisconsin, so it's not like they're playing, A&M, so
It's true. Wisconsin helps you out with big spreads because they run the ball so frequently that if they don't get off to a really hot start, then chances are they're just going to coast to the victory.
It's true. I actually like Bowling Green. I probably won't bet it, but if I had to, I'd go with them.
Okay. Here's another, speaking of choke jobs, although maybe I shouldn't call it that. Virginia Tech now hosts Georgia Tech. That's an 8-point line. Virginia Tech. Nice letdown game, as predicted by me against East Carolina. I didn't think East Carolina would actually knock them off, but God, is there a cooler team than East Carolina year in and
No.
year out?
Every year, overs and upsets every year. It's great.
You do not want to fuck with East Carolina. Just
No.
stay away from them. Never bet against them. They always spoil team seasons. It's
Yep,
what they
true.
do. They've been doing it since Donovan McNabb in '96.
It's true.
Okay, so my thoughts on this game. Georgia Tech is a huge pain because of the way they play and the style of offense. I never bet on them or against them unless it's, say, Georgia Tech versus Florida State. I try to stay away from them in these middle of the road games.
Right.
Maybe you have a different theory.
I have no clue on these guys. These early games, I'm so bad at betting. I'm really trying to cut back this year because I'm tired of waking up at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and being in the hole before noon. So I'm trying to just pick like two games at noon and bet them, not like nine, because then I'm screwed the rest of the day.
Yeah, see, it's different for me being on the East Coast. These games are at noon, so I can wake up, go out, eat breakfast, do some things, come back, and then watch them. And because I rarely am too invested in any noon games, I can flip around and usually be following five or six games at once. I
Yep.
usually have no allegiance, so the closest two games, you go right to them. So it's not bad. It's a nice warm-up for the day. But yeah, if it was 9 o'clock, I wouldn't even bother. I mean, I'm a
No.
Penn State fan, and when they played that 8:30 a.m. game against UCF, I probably tuned in the mid-third quarter.
Yeah, that's what I usually do actually, is I usually wake up like right before halftime, and then by the time the second half started all the new games, I've pulled myself together and I'm ready to actually sweat a couple games.
So speaking of awful teams, Dan, it's time for a check-in with our UConn versus Syracuse showdown. There have been some events recently.
There have been.
UConn, Casey Cochran, we all know that he was concussed too many times and had to retire from the game.
Yep.
I wrote about him in my column last week. You can go look that up, but he had a lot of potential, and I wish him well. UConn without him is totally screwed. They looked okay last week, but I still think they're on pace for max 3 wins.
You were all over that game last week saying Boise State's locked, they're gonna cover, and they didn't cover
Oh.
the whole game. And then I look at the box score and I go, 38-21. They did cover that 16 and a half. Good job, Z.
Let me not take credit. Let me tell you, that was the classic example of where you won, but really you were wrong.
You're wrong for the whole game.
So anyone who gambles consistently knows that you can be right and still lose, and you can be wrong and still win. And that was a case of where I was definitely wrong and I still won.
Correct.
UConn hung with Boise. Boise just was flat that game. Boise, I don't think they're very good this year.
No, not at all.
But, you know, a win's a win. I'll take it.
I'm going to go on record and say UConn, outside of, I don't know if they play any, like, you know, stupid college teams you never heard of, like Central Connecticut, is not going to win another game the rest of the year.
So their one gimme of the year was Stony Brook, which already happened. Close. And they won. By gimme, I mean they beat Division 8 Stony Brook 19-16.
Yeah, very now, close.
They have a couple other games on the schedule that are, I would call, winnable. I mean it is not theoretically impossible that they could win. Okay. One of them is this week. They are +2 at South Florida.
Ugh.
Now, South Florida is not a fun place to play for AAC teams. They always seem to... South Florida fares better than they should when they play at home. But just talent-wise, UConn matches up fine against these guys.
I'm going South Florida. I don't see how a home team, any home team in any sort of real conference, could not be laying at least a touchdown. I would even say New Mexico State, and UNLV would be each laying a touchdown at home against UConn.
That's a tough one, yeah. The ultimate challenge would be UConn versus Vandy, UMass, or Purdue.
Hmm. Now, well, I would, it's not Purdue.
So Purdue I would have as a 3-point favorite over UConn.
No,
Vandy I would have as a pick'em. And UConn I think I would give 4 against UMass.
That one's close. I think I would give UConn minus a field goal against UMass. Against at Vandy, I don't care how bad Vandy is, I would make them a 14-point dog in that SEC country. And what was the last one?
The last one was Purdue.
Oh, Purdue? Well, Purdue almost beat Notre Dame, or they held close. So I'm going to say Purdue minus 7.
What about UConn on a neutral field against FCS North Dakota State? 3-time FCS champion, North Dakota State.
-4.5.
Really?
Yeah, I'm serious. They have no one good. They're the worst team I've ever seen.
I was going to say -10.
It's crazy. The more I think about it, I'm thinking South Florida might be the lock of the week. This is pretty ridiculous.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to have to write that one down. I'm going to revisit that.
Yeah, let's think about that. Maybe we'll send out something on Twitter. I think if your weekend plans involve watching this game or betting on it, and you do not have a child or sibling on either of the teams, then you are planning your weekend incorrectly.
Mm-hmm. I actually have to work this weekend. One of my managers takes some time off, so I volunteer to open on Saturday and Sunday morning. So everyone thought I was crazy for doing this, but it works out well because I have 4 TVs with 4 boxes. So those 9 a.m. games this week, see, look out. I'm going to have 4 of them on at once.
Put them all on UConn.
I'm going to be showered, in uniform, ready to go, looking sharp. So watch out. I might actually be betting all these morning games.
So do this. Put all 4 TVs on UConn and then put out a suggestion box in the middle of the restaurant and see what percentage of the suggestions that come in involve turning that shit off.
There's gonna be no one coming in. People are gonna see UConn on the TV. I'm probably gonna lose my job. It's gonna be bad. But
okay, Syracuse and Maryland was a pick'em when I wrote this down. I believe Maryland's -1 now, which doesn't really matter because that's pretty much still a pick'em.
Yeah,
Syracuse looked impressive against Central Michigan. I think they're an okay team with Terrell Hunt. I don't know how to pronounce it, but I think they're capable. Maryland, I also think, is capable. I think this game deserves to be a pick'em, and I wouldn't mess around with it.
Right on. Spot on analysis. I wouldn't change a thing.
Cool. So moving along to the last noon game, this will be our Doris Burke Memorial noon ESPN Eastern game of the week. But before we get into it, I wanted to say a little something about Miss Burke. Hmm. You know, going back to the topic we discussed in the intro, all the problems – there was a girl named Katie Nolan for Fox Sports who had a viral video this week about how basically women are treated like crap by athletes and even by the sports media. And I just wanted to point out that there is one pioneer in this field, and that is Miss Doris Burke, who has been announcing games since 1996, when she was chosen to announce NBA games. That, think of all the female announcers. First off, there are hardly any. Most of them are sideline reporters, which is sort of what this Katie Nolan's rant was about. You know, if you're a female in sports, you just have to stand on the sidelines, look pretty, and ask stupid questions. Which has its place. You know, we all like the Nick Saban non-answer at halftime, but it is true. The females don't really get a chance. But the one who broke it down, the Jackie Robinson of female announcers, Dan, Doris Burke. So as an honor to Doris Burke and out of respect for her, I am changing the game, the name of the game, for this week only. So I present to you the Prim Saripapat Watch ESPN app, no cable subscription required game of the week.
Perfect. The Watch ESPN app game of the week. That's so good.
Iowa +7 at Pittsburgh. I am taking Pittsburgh. I would love it if this line would drop below 7 so you win on a touchdown, but Iowa sucks this year. I should have bet last year on Iowa State, last week rather. I knew Iowa State was going to beat them. They did. Iowa State, by the way, lost by 20 to the aforementioned North Dakota State, so they're not very good either. Pittsburgh, on the other hand, when they beat Boston College by 10 points, you know, we sort of said, well, that wasn't very impressive. But now, you know, we've been reminded, thanks to USC, of how tough it is to play in Boston College. So that one looks pretty good in hindsight. I'm taking Pittsburgh for sure in this one.
I agree. I was not good. Pitt's a sneaky team, and they're also sneaky at home. And Heinz Field gives them a nice little advantage. So I go with Pitt.
Yeah. I don't think people know it, but I think Tino Sinceri has been secretly playing for 8 years at Pittsburgh.
Oh,
he's still there. He changed his number and his name, but it's still him. Don't be fooled.
No one knows. No one cares. It's fine.
Yeah. So they're going to win, and they always have a good running back every single year. I don't know how. But yeah, Pitt. All right, Dan, 3:30 games. I'm going to throw a bunch of these out there and you comment on whichever you feel.
Okay.
North Carolina +2.5 at East Carolina. Rutgers +6 at Navy. Utah +5 at Michigan. And Virginia +14 at BYU.
The only thing I really like out of that is BYU at home. They are in the... There were a couple teams a couple years ago from smaller conferences that had to run the table. They were like TCU and Boise State this year. They're going to blow out some teams. Virginia sucks. They had a home game against UCLA earlier this year where they had to travel cross country. Now they go the other way. BYU is an extremely hard place to play. That's Mormon country in the mountains. And that looks nothing like Virginia, I'll tell you that much. I like BYU. I'd lay the 14. Other thoughts on those lines? East Carolina, North Carolina is really hard based on what happened last week with East Carolina. That's a stay away. Utah +5 at Michigan's really shady. Michigan's not good. Utah has played them hard there before, if you remember. I think they actually may have even won in Michigan. I would probably take Utah, but I would like it if I got a little bit more than 5. Keep an eye on that one. But for the time being, I think I would bet BYU and that's it.
So let me just add on to that a little bit. I totally agree on BYU. BYU is very good.
Really good.
They're not a fluke. They're very talented. Listen, they're not as good as Alabama, Auburn, Oregon, but they're a solid, solid team. And
absolutely.
I would be very wary of betting against them. Although I'm not confident like some people they're going undefeated. I think that's just really tough to do. But in this game, I like them a lot. Rutgers, Navy. I would stay away from that. Navy's a really tough one, like Georgia Tech, that you just want to stay away. You don't want to mess with that. The option, the triple option, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Rutgers, I'll say, they really impressed me. I'm a Penn State fan, as I said. That game, when just the energy of the crowd, they're so excited to be part of the Big Ten, a real conference for once. I think Rutgers is going to, we're going to see big things out of them in a few years. Their crowd was great. It was an electric atmosphere. They should have beat Penn State. They really should have beat Penn State. that was cool to watch, and I feel good for Rutgers, even though they lost that game. So they're going to be okay this year. Stay away from that. If you're going to bet on Utah, Michigan, I'd go with Utah, but the line has already moved a half a point toward Utah, so you're not getting any more points than that.
No.
North Carolina, East Carolina, I have no idea. That's, you know, rivalry game, in-state, stay away.
Right.
I think that covers it. The last 3:30 game is one we definitely need to discuss, however, and that is the Florida Gators coming into Alabama. Mm-hmm. And that line was at 15 when I checked, and I know you have thoughts about this one.
You know, this Alabama team's not as good as they've been over the past 5 years. So this is probably the worst Alabama team they've had. And that's not, you know, I'm not saying they're a bad team. I'm just saying they're probably like, you know, the fifth or sixth best team, maybe eighth. Florida is actually improved. And honestly, if it wasn't for their quarterback play, I think they match up really well against Alabama. But Jeff Driskel is a turnover machine. The kid, if he would just hold on to the damn ball and not turn over, Florida could actually be really good this year. I don't like laying 15 because I think this is going to be a super, super low-scoring game. I think first one of maybe 13 wins this game. I love the under in this game.
Wow, 13?
Yeah, 13-10.
Now, when you say Alabama's the eighth best team, you're talking about the entire country, or not just the SEC?
No, entire country. Actually, I did a top 10 list the other day, and I have Alabama at 6.
Do you have this top 10 list on you?
Sure, I'll go over real quick. Florida State at 1, Auburn at 2, 3, Art Briles, Baylor Bears, 4, Oregon, 5, Ole Miss, 6, Alabama, 7, A&M, 8, Oklahoma, 9, South Carolina, where they always are, and 10.
Did you just fill South Carolina in at number 9 first?
That was the first thing I did. I put them right there at 9. And then LSU at 10, I think.
Okay. I'm just going to leave that out there.
Ole Miss at 5.
I know. Saying. Interesting. Worthy of the pregnant pause.
Yeah.
So I feel the same way as you. I did look up some stats, and it turns out Blake Sims is actually doing well for those first few games as Alabama quarterbacks go. His stats compare pretty favorably to their last couple of QBs.
Interesting.
McCarron, McElroy. Statistically, he looks pretty good. I think that he's clearly the guy. Coker just doesn't have what he has. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to be great, but he's okay. I think Alabama will be all right. Like you said, I think right around 6-8 is pretty good for this year.
Yeah.
Florida, they're a tough one. I don't think they're great, but I do think they're going to play their hearts out in this one.
Absolutely.
I think Florida's the sort of team this year that's going to play to the level of their competition. When they're playing a Kentucky, you're going to go to double overtime, and you're going to think, well, Alabama will blow them out of the water, but then magically they're going to play Alabama to within 10 or 8 points.
It's somehow going to be a super low-scoring game. So I'd be very surprised if it was 38-31 Alabama. I'll tell you that much.
Absolutely. And I considered putting money on Florida for this, but I just don't think it goes against the number one rule of take the points, which is don't bet against Alabama. So I think that's not going to be allowed. You'll actually have to fly over here and smack me in the face should I ever bet against them.
The only time it's allowed, there's only one exception, and that's during the Iron Bowl. That's it.
Okay. I know, I'm with you. All right, a couple 4 o'clock games. Indiana plus 13.5 at Missouri. I only put this down to say that Missouri, I think, actually looks pretty legitimate. We may have underrated them at the beginning of the year. And I don't think Indiana's that great. I think this is a pretty favorable line for Missouri.
I agree.
So I would consider a small wager on Missouri.
Yep.
UMass plus 26.5 at Penn State. Penn State, I want to talk about for a minute, and the Big Ten in general. Now, I'm sure this was just coincidence, but as soon as the Big Ten had their awful, so-called awful week, where Michigan State lost to Oregon, who I think is maybe second-best team in the country, but people said that was a really bad loss, even though it wasn't. And then Ohio State, who, by the way, lost their All-American quarterback before the season, they lost to Virginia Tech. People said that was a horrible loss, but to me, I expected Ohio State to struggle this year, especially the first few games. And then Michigan, who has barely been good. They've been good once in about the last 8 years.
Yep.
They got killed by Notre Dame, but that's only a shock to people outside Big Ten country who don't know that Michigan's been bad for many years.
Yeah, they're not good at all.
To me, I kept seeing these stories. The Big Ten's elite teams are getting killed. Michigan State, Ohio State, Michigan. I was like, all right, hold up for a second. Yep. Michigan is not an elite team.
Unranked.
Michigan's not even a very good team at this point. They're a mediocre team.
Yep.
So let's just settle down. I do think Michigan State and Wisconsin both have chances to get to 10 wins, and even Ohio State could get to a 10-win season.
Yeah.
So while the Big Ten's not going to produce a national champion, they can have one, maybe even two top 10 teams by the end of the year. Now, Penn State, coincidentally, this week after all these teams were taking flack for the conference sucking, they dropped their sanctions, which as a Penn State fan, I'm actually not in favor of. We talked about the media making big deals out of things. The media has made Penn State into the story of the century. And obviously what happened was terrible. But I wish that the media would just drop it. It's been 2 years, everyone who was involved has been punished, fired, put in jail, dead. To me, it should be over by this point. Penn State dropping the sanctions early only helps to reignite that fire, just like a few fans are trying to do a Joe Paterno out this weekend at the game where they all wear Joe Pa masks. It's a horrible, horrible idea, no matter how much you support the guy. What you want if you're Penn State is to never mention this again, basically.
Yeah, just
and then 50 years from now, say like, hey, man, maybe Joe should get those wins back.
Yeah, but not right now. Move on, be quiet about it, enjoy James Franklin and a good season.
Yeah, and this is from two people who grew up as Penn State fans. Just let it go. They should have just served out the 4 years of the sanction and just shut up about it. But they dropped it, and yeah. Now people are saying like, oh, they could compete for the Big Ten East. Let me stop everyone right there. Penn State is not that good this year. This is probably the worst they're going to be with the sanctions. The way it broke down, the loss of scholarships, the new coach, the very young team, a horrible offensive line, and I mean horrible. I mean, I thought Christian Hackenberg was not going to make it through that Rutgers game alive. Penn State is, if they win 8 games this season, that'll be a good season, a very good season. And now they have a chance to get to a bowl. They should just, if they can make any bowl, that's a successful season to me. Even if it's, the Pinstripe Bowl against Syracuse. They're not going to compete.
Very possible. Very possible.
It's very possible.
Syracuse 100% is playing it. That's the only bowl they're allowed to play in.
Syracuse, it's a question of if they can win 6 games, then they just go straight to the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yep, it's coming.
So it'll be the Pinstripe Bowl, from what I've been told, was an excuse to have a game with Syracuse, Penn State, or Rutgers every year.
Yep.
And for all of you who like to make bowl predictions, just put one of those three teams in that bowl every single year. It's given.
100%.
Let's see. Penn State. Yeah, this game, that spread's a little high, even though UMass sucks. But just everyone, I want to say, settle down on the whole Penn State winning the East and competing for the Big Ten title. Next year, they'll be better. 2016, they're going to be pretty damn good. When Christian Hackenberg's a senior, they're going to be very good if he survives this year with their terrible offensive line.
Right.
So we don't have to pick that one. Let's move on to the big games, Dan.
You got it.
Anywhere you want to start in particular?
Miami of Ohio at Cincinnati. Does that count for a big game for me?
It's a night game.
Yeah.
And I think Cincy might actually be really good.
They are really good.
And I think Miami of Ohio is not good. So I think this is a pretty good line.
Well, up until going into last week, there were some crazy numbers with Miami of Ohio, like losing 21 out of 22 or something. And I was like, oh, Ohio State and Michigan are both going to blow them out. So I put an equal wager on both last week. Ohio State, 65-0 easy. Michigan, yep. Total mess. But Cincinnati also at the same time was favored by only like 9.5, 10 points against Toledo. They put up 58. So Cincy's offense is for real. Keep in mind that their senior quarterback, who everyone expected to be their starter, who's been the starter for the last 2 years, Munchie Legault, he's not the starter anymore. He did not get the job because they got a new guy in camp who's a stud.
So, in fairness, Munchie doesn't have a knee anymore.
No, no knee.
He just has some a jello pack stuck in there.
It's very rare to see a senior quarterback not be the starter. So that tells you they're going to... So I was very impressed. That was their first game of the season last week, and they brought the heat. So watch out for Cincinnati. You might get some good value with on them for the first month till everyone catches on.
Yeah, it cracks me up. That was... You weren't exaggerating. That was their first actual game last week.
Yeah, first one.
Yeah, and they're good. And to all the people who are calling Michigan an elite team and saying how they lost, Cincinnati is better than Michigan.
Way better. They would beat the shit out of them.
If Michigan's an elite team, Cincinnati is a playoff team.
National title contender.
Yeah. All right, Dan, we're both on the same page with that one. I think it's time to get into one of the big games, one of the ones I'm really looking forward to, which is Les Miles and the great LSU number 10 ranked Tigers hosting Mississippi State. It's a 10-point line. I have many, many stats that I would like to read to you, and then you can give your pick.
Okay.
And after I read these stats, you really don't have much of a choice with the pick.
I think I know what these stats are going to say. I'm guessing maybe something about LSU playing a home night game might be on there.
So, yes. So let me start. Well, I was going to leave that till the end, but let me start with that. It is a home night game at LSU. Now, I don't have current stats. I couldn't find current stats, but sometime in 2012, I found the stats, and LSU's home night record was 30-1. I think that's under Les Miles since... When did he take over? 06, something like that. So 30-1. They did lose to Alabama in 2013, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's they've probably lost three games now, but still unbelievable record. LSU, the university, tries to play all of their home games at night, and the only reason they don't is because the NCAA rules basically say they can't.
Yep.
The university, given their druthers, would play every single game at night. That's what they've said.
Yeah.
Since 1960, LSU, and this goes way back before Les Miles, even before the team was what they are in the 90s and 2000s, LSU's record, 201-59-3 at night in Tiger Stadium. That's 7.73 winning percentage.
God.
Compared to their record during the day, which is 20-22-3, which is a 4.76 winning percentage.
There you go.
So they win 30% more at the night games.
Yep.
In 2009, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee stated on Sean Hannity's Fox News show that it is unfair playing LSU on Saturday night in Baton Rouge.
It is.
That's, I think Arkansas was playing them that weekend when he said that.
It's not fair. It is the best home field in all of college sport. And in all of sports that I've watched, I mean, maybe European soccer might be different or some shit, but in America, that is the hardest place to play. I mean, there and maybe in the NFL going up to Seattle. Like, it's actually harder to go to LSU. People don't know that, but number one.
So you've got governors getting involved. Yeah. Then, from Wikipedia, survey after survey has concluded that Tiger Stadium is the most difficult place for a visiting team to play, including surveys by the College Football Association in 1987, the Sporting News in 1989, Net News Service in 1995, and Sport Magazine in 1998. More recently, in 2007, ESPN named Tiger Stadium the scariest place to play, saying that Tiger Stadium is by far the loudest stadium in the country.
It is. It's out of control. I mean, they are the number one team in New Orleans. It's not the Saints. It's them.
Okay, and I've got two more stats for you that aren't related to night games. Number one, Les Miles versus Mississippi State. He's played them 9 times. Would you like to guess his record against them?
9-0.
You got it. And then the last one, this is a hat tip to Mr. Phil Steele, the smartest man in college football.
He is.
Since LSU was trailing Wisconsin in the third quarter of that game in week one, LSU has outscored their opponents 108-0. Yeah.
SEC smash mouth. Wow.
So the question is not, will LSU win this game? The question is, will they win by 11 points?
I think so. I would definitely lay the points there. I might get involved with possibly a teaser with LSU, but we'll talk about that later.
Ooh, don't spoil the big ending to the show, Dan. All right, I have... Okay, do it. Take LSU in this game. LSU's a sneaky good team this year.
They're great. They're loaded.
In the season preview, I don't like to pat myself on the back, but I listed them as a dark horse national championship contender. I said if Alabama falters and Auburn's road or their schedule proves to be a little too much to handle, I thought LSU could sneak in, win that SEC West, and if you win that, you're probably in the playoff. Mm-hmm. So don't count them out as a playoff team. I think it's a little premature to put them in there, but don't count them out is all I'll say.
You're right.
All right. Another hat tip to Mr. Phil Steele. Northern Illinois plus 14 at Arkansas. Now, Arkansas is coming off the big win against Texas Tech, although that's not a big win because, first of all, Texas Tech isn't really that good this year compared to how they've been. Also, Coach Ryan Gosling was having his first baby last week, so he was a little distracted. Concentrate on the game. Anyway, here's the stat. Northern Illinois has won 17 straight true road games, not counting neutral sites. I don't know who they've played during that stretch, but I'm sure they played at least someone as good as Arkansas.
Yeah, seriously.
And they probably had Jordan Lynch for most of that stretch.
Yeah, or that Caleb Harnish guy You know, whatever. Hard to say.
But when you're getting over two touchdowns, I say take it. Take the points. Semi-letdown game for Arkansas?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely a letdown game. By the way, Arkansas averaged 6.6 yards a carry last week against Texas Tech. Something that's very impressive, but it wouldn't be a problem if they didn't have a total of 68 rushing attempts. They ran for almost 500 yards last week against Texas Tech. Really crazy. Now, the question is, can Northern Illinois slow down the running game? Because Arkansas can pass. Northern Illinois will not be able to slow them down. They played at UNLV last week and won 48-34. You gave up 34 to UNLV, you're going to give up more to Arkansas. This one's tough. Arkansas might be an improved team. It's underrated. I'm going to stay away from this, but I would lean Arkansas.
I would say Texas Tech's run defense is probably not too great, but Arkansas does have a couple of really good running backs.
Great.
Pretty good line.
Yeah.
I think they're one of the underrated running back.
It's a super hard game to pick, and I think that's a stay away in the end.
Let me ask you a question. Would you agree that Arkansas is probably the worst team in the SEC West? Really, the only competition is
Kentucky,
Mississippi State in the West.
West.
So you've got LSU, Bama, Auburn.
I think Arkansas
A&M.
Would be Mississippi State.
Okay. So second worst team in the SEC West. Would you agree that Arkansas would probably be the favorite to win the AAC if they were in that?
Lock it up.
Do you agree that if Arkansas were in the Big Ten, they would finish top three and have a very good chance at winning it?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
In fact, I think they'd win the Big Ten.
Do you? I don't think they could get past Michigan State.
Yeah, you're right. But I think they beat Ohio State.
This year, without Braxton Miller, I agree.
Yeah, it'd be close anyway, yeah.
Like I said, top three.
Top three for sure, yeah.
That's your worst, arguably, team in the SEC West. It's not fair.
They're so good. And you know, because they're so good, when they play these out-of-conference matchups, when you got to capitalize.
You know, I know the season's very early, but the way things have gone so far, you pretty much at this point have to give the SEC two playoff teams.
Have to, yeah.
I mean, we'll see how things shake out, but at this point I would give them two teams before I gave the Big Ten or the Big Ten any.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with Florida State and Oklahoma Baylor. All right, speaking of which, Oklahoma is -8 at West Virginia in a 7:30 game.
Sneaky game here, very sneaky. It really sucks because I thought this line would be higher. It sucks West Virginia had a win last week.
Vegas is good. You think you're going to get them, and then they come out with the line, and it's just always shit.
If West Virginia just would have lost that game last week, this line would have been like 16 or 14 and a half or something, but now it's 8. I can't do it. I can't take the 8 with West Virginia. I can't lay it either. This is another weird road game. Stay away. Actually, you know what? Screw the stay away. Over. Just bet the over. Have some fun with it. That's all. What's the over?
I don't know. Let me look it up. Do you have any thoughts while I do that on South Carolina -22.5 at Vandy?
Yeah, that's too many points. Vandy may suck, but again, it's SEC talent. South Carolina just had their big upset win over Georgia. And, you know, I'm almost positive they're going to win this game, but I'm not comfortable laying over 3 touchdowns with them. It's a stay away.
Totally agree with you. That's a letdown game in theory for South Carolina, except that Vandy sucks. So sure. I would stay away. Oklahoma, West Virginia is 61.5 over.
Oh, God. That's awesome. Over.
Don't you think Oklahoma's defense is decent?
No. Oklahoma is my new most likely team to get upset. They are my new Georgia. Yeah, I guess they've shown some flashes, and that linebacker striker looks great and all that, but I just something about, you know, all those defenses from that conference. I don't trust them in the end. I never do.
So I watched Oklahoma-Tennessee last weekend, a good portion of that game. A couple things I came away with. Tennessee is a nice, young, up-and-coming team. Yep. I like what Butch Jones has done with them. Even though they lost and they didn't even cover, they performed well and they performed admirably. And I think if you give out such a thing as a moral victory in college football... I think it was, and if I was a Tennessee fan, I would be relieved/excited that maybe by next year you could finally break the curse of Phil Fulmer.
Yeah, maybe.
The other thing I took away was that Oklahoma is definitely legitimate, in my opinion. They have a defense. By Big 12 standards, they have a great defense. By SEC standards, they have an average defense. Trevor Knight is the real deal. I thought, you know, last season... he played mediocre most of the season, played really well toward the end. He's really improved in the off season. And man, Oklahoma has some, you know, good skill position players and some fast guys. I don't think they're infallible, but I do think they're good. And I do think somebody will trip them up, but I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't think it's this week.
Art Briles will get them.
Well, we'll get to that eventually.
Can't wait.
All right. I want to save the so-called big game for the end. Let's skip past Florida State and let's go to Miami +7 at Nebraska.
I like the home team. Nebraska leads the entire FBS in offense, yards per game. People probably don't know that. They got a stud running back. They got a coach on the hot seat. And I like them laying 7 here.
I actually agree, although Nebraska's a team I haven't liked betting on recently because they're unpredictable. I think people they take too much from that McNeese State close call. McNeese State is a pretty good team by FCS standards, and that was just one of those games. Nebraska couldn't get it going. McNeese was playing really well. Daniel Sams, the McNeese quarterback, you know, he played for Kansas State. He's not your quote-unquote FCS talent.
True.
Amir Abdullah is awesome. He might be in that final five when you have the Heisman in New York.
Very possible.
He's going to be a fantasy sleeper for next year. Yeah, although now that I told you that, it's probably too late. Although if he's my fantasy sleeper and I do get him on my team, you can expect him to immediately get injured or hit his kid with a switch and get kicked off the team.
Speaking of that, I believe me and you are in dead last in fantasy football. Just putting that out there.
Yes, I had to. People don't care much about fantasy, I'm sure, but I had to start no defense last week. And the reason I had to do that is because three of my running backs already are out, and my bench was all running backs, backups, and I had to leave the spots open because I need to pray that one of those backups, their starter goes down and they get to play. And it was worth it to me to not have a defense, not get those, you know, 5 or 6 points. And I still lost. So it doesn't matter, but
brutal.
Yeah. So I'm done after 2 weeks as per usual. All right, Dan, I'm going to throw it to you for our West Coast update.
Yeah.
These are all the late games that are past my bedtime. Some interesting ones though, this week, we've got Cal +9.5 at Arizona, Oregon -24 at Washington State, San Diego State +10 at Oregon State, and our favorite ULL +16 going all the way to Boise.
First of all, I'm taking ULL. I'll tell you that much.
Letdown game for Boise after their big UConn win.
Yeah. Well, yeah. First of all, they aren't good because they were hanging around with UConn. They got to travel all the way back to play ULL. I know ULL's been getting smoked lately. They didn't cover against Louisiana Tech. They got blown out on the road.
Dan, I hate to say it, but our UL teams are not very good this year.
Don't care. It's early. We're going to turn it around. I'm sticking with them. We're going to go with ULL here.
UL La Tech might be the best of them.
Well,
or UL, UL LSU. And,
yeah. Well, I'm not sure which ones are good yet, but I'll figure that out over the next couple of weeks. But I'm taking them for sure. Oregon, first half, always. And Arizona should win. I got to keep an eye on this hurricane situation. Tucson's a little bit more south. They might get some rain, so keep an eye out for that.
Would you like to give an injury update / get better to your man, Taylor Kelly?
Yeah, it's horrible, man. Arizona State's so close to having, like, a really great season and becoming a powerhouse. Like, Arizona State, I mean, is a massive college. They got great athletic facilities. The only problem is they have an old football stadium, but now they're going to be making a new one. It's going to be beautiful. And anyway, moral story is it sucks that Taylor Kelly's down because Arizona State is super talented this year. But hopefully he comes back sooner than later.
Yeah, any status on that? I mean, I don't know what.
No one really knows. College injuries are really weird.
I heard one game.
Yeah, college injuries are like beyond hush-hush because they're student athletes, whatever the hell that means. So, yeah, there's no info for that yet, but I'll let you know if I see anything.
Okay. Arizona State, I think, was one of my sleeper teams. I really like them this year, so I hope he gets better because he's, of course, very important to the success of the team. All right, let's stop messing around. Let's get into the big game, which I don't know how big this game actually is given recent events, but Clemson is at Florida State, and now I have the line as +20. However, due to recent events involving Jameis Winston and a student union table, a Mr. Sean McGuire will be your starting quarterback for the first half of the game. And I don't know anything about him. Of course, nobody knows anything about him, but we know he's no Jameis Winston.
Yep.
And I don't know if you know the line. I can look it up, but why don't you take it?
Yeah, the line only dropped like 3.5 points. It's around 16.5, depending where you're looking at it.
+16.
Yeah, 16, exactly. I hope it keeps going down. I still love Florida State. They're talented all over the field. This quarterback's not going to suck. Last year, I was all about Clemson.
That we both were, and that was one of our worst picks of the entire year. I believe we started the following podcast with like a 5-minute apology.
And we still won because we were getting 14 points and Florida State had the ball deep in Clemson territory. They could have punched it in, but they decided to take a knee.
Wait, is that true? Oh, maybe I'm thinking of 2 years ago when Florida State beat them by 50.
Yeah, no. Last year was the one. So because they had Taj Boyd and Sammy Watkins and we're like, oh, this is the year they're going to do it. And no, Florida State just manhandled them. But so this year, look for Florida State to be winning by, you know, a field goal or a touchdown at halftime. Winston will come in. Crowd will go crazy. Clemson will get worn down. Before you know it, you'll look up. They'll be up 4 scores.
I have one note written and one note only for this game. And it says, it quotes one of your favorite bands. It says, "Won't get fooled again."
Oh, yes.
Last year, as you mentioned, we bet on Clemson. And although they covered, that was a game we definitely deserved to lose. We were way off. We talked about games where you win, but you're still wrong. 2 years ago, bet on Clemson, and they just got just destroyed in one of the most one-sided big games I've ever seen in my life.
Correct.
I will not get fooled again. I had Florida State at 20. I'll take Florida State at 16. I'll take Florida State at 27. I'm not betting on Clemson in this game.
No matter what.
No chance. And if it's tied at halftime, Winston will come in and do even more damage. The worse Florida State does in the first half, the better they're going to do when Winston gets in there. The worst thing I think would be for Florida State to do okay and be up, say, 13 and a half, then Winston will think, oh, I got this. And then Clemson might sneak back in it.
I dig it.
Yeah. Well, that's all I have. Normally we have more for a big game of the week, but
it's kind of a bad college football week. This is the last bad one for like the rest of the season. I looked at the schedule, so we kind of had some fun with this podcast, but
you know what though?
It's going to be good.
We said that last week and it was a great week. Some of those games.
College football is just great. There's so many teams playing that it's impossible for it to ever suck.
Okay, Dan, before we end, I've got a couple other quick notes. One of them is there was a game between San Jose State and Minnesota. The over-under is 56. Now, we meant to do this a couple weeks ago, but we have a public service announcement for America that Greg Robinson has taken over as the defensive coordinator at San Jose State.
That is correct.
This is the same Greg Robinson who coached Syracuse when they had a horrible defense.
The worst.
D coordinator under Rich Rod, I believe it was, in Michigan, who had a horrible defense.
The history of Michigan football, the worst defense. That's correct.
Yes. His defense at Syracuse was atrocious. I believe, did he coach at the Cowboys?
I think for a while, yeah. Everywhere he's been, he's a loser.
All you have to do is look up his history and how the defense has performed, the average amount of points given up. And you will know that when Greg Robinson is involved in a game, you always take the over.
Every single time. And that begins now. Every week,
yep.
I'm going to do it. I'm not even going to look at anything. Just instant over, $50, move on to your next bet.
56 against Minnesota. Minnesota, they're not very good, but it doesn't matter.
It's not going to matter. They're going to score 45.
That's right. The team's playing Syracuse in 2008 or whenever it was. We're not very good either, but they put up plenty of points.
So true, so true.
All right, Dan, we're going to end with a brand new segment.
Yeah, we are.
This is all you. It's the Dan Partridge Light Your Money on Fire 4-team teaser of the week. This is a new segment in which you will pick a 4-team tease that is most likely unwinnable, but should be entertaining nonetheless.
That's right. This is a 4-team, 13-point tease that you can get at your favorite sports book online.
Maybe you should explain just to people who don't gamble frequently.
A teaser is when you combine two or three or four multiple games and you change the line on all of them. But in order to win your bet, you have to win all of them. So with the 2-team tease, you can move the spread 6 points. 3 is 9, 4 is 13. So I pick 4 games. I get to move the spread 13 points, but I have to win all 4 to win my bet.
So, for example, if San Diego State is a 10-point underdog at Oregon State and you like Oregon State, you now get Oregon State +3 because you're getting 13 points extra on the spread.
Correct. Exactly. So I think I'm going to make money on this long term. Tom thinks I'm going to lose a bunch of money.
It's unwinnable. I've done it many times.
We're going to find out. So for all the listeners at home, here is the week one Light Your Money on Fire 4-team tease. We have South Florida at home getting 11 points against UConn. BYU -1 home against Virginia. Missouri also home against Indiana with no line. It's a straight pick 'em now. And the last one, LSU +3 at home in Death Valley.
Sounds...
I'm not going to lose. They're coming in. I can't lose. Can't lose.
The thing about the four-team teaser is it sounds unbelievable on paper.
Uh-huh. I lost last week.
And then they play.
Here was mine last week that we will not count for this little thing. I won all three of my first ones, but take a guess which one got me. USC. Ah, I had USC -6 up there in BC. I was cruising early. Nope. Disaster.
I told you.
Yep, that's what I get. But don't worry, that didn't count, and this one does, so watch out. I got my four-team tees. I'm going to put it in right now. So excited.
All right, I like the segment. I like the name of it. I like the concept. Yeah. And I like the fact that we're going to keep track and prove to America that this does not work.
Yep.
Dan, anything else you'd like to add before we sign off?
No, I'm good for this week. I'm going to be at work for the early games, but I didn't really watch many of the early games this past weekend. It was our friend Ryan's birthday on Saturday, and a friend of mine went out of town, so we were house-sitting, or I guess I was, but I invited people over. I don't know if that's okay etiquette, but the moral of the story is, we got a little bit after it, we'll say, last Saturday night, and I missed a lot of the games. But this week,
what was the age of this person whose house you were sitting?
10 years older than me.
Okay. Were there any explicit instructions not to have people over or what you're supposed to do?
No, he's cool. Like, he's like, do whatever you want. I don't care. He's like, you know, just make sure no one, like, I don't know, comes in and takes all my shit. So that's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, I think... If I were letting someone house sit at my house, I think I would not care if they had people over, as long as it wasn't like a 200 people.
Great party, though. Yeah, and, you know, also, I mean, you have to choose a very good house sitter, because he knows that the people who I hang out with here in Phoenix are upstanding human beings. This isn't like 2006 in Boston.
Right, and that's the thing. I wouldn't pick some invalid to house sit. Although house sitting is kind of a joke. I guess it depends on how long you're going to be out of town, but you don't really need a house sitter. It's more just like, hey, man, you want to live in my house?
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. It was in a cool neighborhood in downtown Phoenix. I think I sent you a photo of it right next to the airport, or not, it's like 10 minutes away. Yeah, it was cool. But yeah, looking forward to this weekend. Loving the four-team tees. I'm so excited about that. That's all I really care about. And we'll see how it plays out.
All right, that's the Dan Partridge Light Your Money on Fire four-team tees of the week.
Four-team 13-point tees of the week.
All right, I'd like to thank Dan. I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Visit takethepoints.net. I'd like to thank Doris Burke for being the Jackie Robinson of annoying female announcers. And I shouldn't say that. Doris Burke is fine. You just can't win her games. That's the problem.
She's, you know what? She's actually...
There's nothing wrong with her personally. It's just that I always lose betting all of her games.
Yeah. I feel like she's okay. She's all right at college basketball, but the college football... I just can't do it. There's nothing I just can't do it.
She definitely is better at basketball, NBA, and college basketball.
She knows her NBA.
But I respect her greatly in all endeavors. And I have a theory why you can't win her games betting, but I'm going to save that for another time.
Perfect. I'm excited to hear that.
All right. Takethepoints.net. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This is Tom and Dan. We will see you next week. Bye. Take the point.
That's it. Every week, the 14, 13-point tees.
I like this a lot. We need a name for it, like the impossible, Dan's impossible 14 tees. Dan's sure to somehow backfire 14 tees.
Take your money and put it right into the paper shredder. Or like the
Dan Partridge Money on Fire 14 tees.
The Dan Partridge Light Your Money on Fire tees of the week. There it is.
Yep, that's the one.